evening. Thank you so much for having us here in your conference. We feel your love and we feel at home. We've been involved in bus ministry, so anytime I see buses rolling and bus kids, I just love that. It brings a smile to our face. And let's turn to 2 Chronicles 34. We'll get right in to our message. And you know, we need some godly heroes today, don't we? Amen. Growing up, I had a bunch of heroes. We're probably zeros. A lot of baseball players and football players and different people. But we need some heroes today. We need a call for godly men to America, don't we? And America needs some help. You know, the great slogan today is Make America Great Again. And we are a Christian nation. It has been said that we were more, a president once said that we are not just a Christian nation. I won't mention the president's name, but we are a Christian nation. I believe our light is dimming, but I just want to give you one quote of Patrick Henry being here in Central Virginia. Patrick Henry said this about our country: cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is a great quote of our summarization of our country, that we are a Christian nation, and it's our duty to reach the world. But we have some problems in America, don't we? We have shed blood greatly, over 60 million abortions. Still, abortions are being committed. Fentanyl, drugs are killing many of our young people. Pornography and gambling is becoming so prevalent. And we have a nation in debt, over $33 trillion. If those other things don't take us, even our national debt will. And we have a dearth of pastors and a dearth of missionaries. And we need some men to step up. Joshua 24:15, we need some fathers and individuals to put their stake in the ground. And as Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And the only way we're going to change this nation is by individuals putting their stake in the ground. And we're going to say, my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And we need families and individuals fulfilling the Great Commission, not only going to the foreign field, but seeing there where they're at is their mission field. I remember in my 20s, I came back to Michigan to get involved in my local church because our pastor in our college school said, get involved in your local church when you get back home. Drilled that into us, and I went to my pastor and I said, I'm here to get involved in my local church. And he asked me what I did in college. I sat with some bus kids. That's about all I did. And he said, we want you to start a bus ministry. And I really felt like a missionary at age 22 to go to Sanford, Michigan and start a bus ministry. We had many children ride the bus for those next years. And we got a chance to be bus pastors, bus pastor in Zebulon, North Carolina for 14 years. But you can see your city where you live as your mission field, and we need to look at Matthew 28:19 to go ye therefore and teach all nations. That wasn't just for the 11 disciples. It wasn't just for them. It was for them, but it's also for us too. And if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you are to go too. It's either you're going to Madison or Culpeper or your neighborhood, to the foreign field. Through Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And how will we make America great again? Not necessarily by voting for a certain person or a certain party, but by winning souls. As we win souls, we will make our country great again. Because when people get saved, they vote right, don't they? The community becomes better. More churches are planted. Churches are armed off and starting new churches, as Baptist history, as what they would do. They would arm off churches and have five families go over to this city and start a new church. And Proverbs 11:30b says, he that winneth souls is wise. So we need to win souls everywhere we're at. Just briefly, I worked at Chick-fil-A as I was going to Ambassador Baptist College. And I was the main guy in the front, and I would take orders. I was had my boys working with me in the back too, but I would take about 100 orders every day. And I worked for 8 years, 96 months, 20 days a month. And I calculated all that out. Every month I serviced between 1,000 and 2,000 families, individuals, there in Gaffney, South Carolina, where that big peach is off 85. And I would see people from all over America, get to talk to a lot of different people. But the very bad statistic in all that was, is that I only received 2 gospel tracts out of 8 years. And, you know, not everybody at Chick-fil-A is saved. And that was just a barometer to me that I need to make sure that everywhere I go that I'm passing out tracts. When I do business with somebody, it's just common courtesy for that person to, if I spend $30 at your business, here's a gift for you. And whether it's a worker, they're going to take it, and you can get good at it. And I like to say I have a gift for you. We give out John and Romans tracts, Bibles. And I want to encourage you to give out gospel tracts. That's a very simple way that you can be a missionary right where you're at. Many people that I've talked to, pastors and pastors' wives, people, you might have even gotten saved from a gospel tract. Don't discount gospel tracts. Give out Bibles. My brother in high school, we were in a Roman Catholic city, Bay City, Michigan. He was very bold in high school, and he gave out a Bible to his friend. And his friend was a lost Roman Catholic. In 20 years, he kept that Bible, and he miraculously got saved. He ran into some problems in his life, and he went to the Bible, and a friend led him to the Lord. And you know, by just giving out a Bible, saying, I got a gift for you, to your neighbors, to people at work, who knows what will happen? God's word is powerful, isn't it? But we need some godly heroes. And you know, all the godly heroes that we really need, we have some godly heroes there back. I can see those guys, our Baptist heroes. But we have some godly heroes in God's word, don't we? And we're the godly hero I want to talk about today is King Josiah. And there was 8 godly kings in Judah. There was none in Israel. And the 2 greatest godly kings would be, in my opinion, would be Josiah and Hezekiah. They're the only 2 that would be so bold to take down the altars, the high altars. They would do all the other things, but they also take a step and tear down the high altars. And I think of them as the lion kings of Judah. They were bold. Proverbs 28:1 says, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And we need to be bold too, don't we? And we see that King Josiah is a hero. Hezekiah also. But let's look 2 Chronicles 34, 1 and 2 with our time remaining. And we see the surrender and zeal of King Josiah. And my proposition is we as disciples and missionaries must be surrendered and zealous for the gospel of Jesus Christ. King Josiah was surrendered and zealous to serve the Lord in his day. And we see in verse 1 and 2, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And as we were seeing some of the bus kids today, they might have been over 8 years old, possibly, but you know what? An 8-year-old can serve the Lord, can't they? They can say, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I want to get saved. I got saved at age 6. And we need to be reaching the children, don't we? And that's so great that reaching them with the bus ministry, reaching your children, and just continue and keep doing that. And here's an 8-man. Who was Josiah? Well, let's look at him in his heritage real quickly. His name means Jehovah heals. And if we look into the history of that time, he was the 18th king of Judah. And he was known for reform, Deuteronomic reform, and revival. And the 2 great revivals in the Old Testament come from Josiah and Hezekiah. Study that. He reigned 31 years, 641 AD to 610. But he had an evil and wicked heritage. And you know, you might not have been born in a Christian family. I know Dr. Comfort, who was a part of our church, and I went to his school. He was not born in a Christian family. But we need to be responsible for our lives, aren't we? Regardless of our heritage, his father was Ammon, and Ammon was evil. 2 Chronicles 33:22. Let's look back at 33:22 as we just look at Ammon real quickly. Ammon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father, for Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh's father had made, and served them. And he was a bad, wicked man, so bad that his servants assassinated his father, King Ammon. He was assassinated. And we know his grandfather was Manasseh. Manasseh was Hezekiah's son. But Manasseh was a king for 55 years. And Manasseh was an evil man. He would throw his children to the gods, the pagan gods of Molech. But we see Josiah not looking at his father or his grandfather, but looking to the Lord. He has to look to his great-great-great-grandfather, King David, we see in verse 2, 34:2. He did that was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Even as an 8-year-old boy, he didn't get off on the path. And he did that was right in the sight of the Lord. My question is, are we doing right in the sight of the Lord? Are you doing right in the sight of the Lord? Am I doing right in the sight of the Lord? As I look at my phone, on my apps, are they godly to the Lord? The things that you might watch on TV, your life, is your life honoring and is doing right in the sight of the Lord? Genesis 16:13, Hagar confesses, "Thou God seest me." And we'll teach that to our kids. You know, children, God, thou God seest me. It was Hagar who said that. God sees us, even as adults. And are you walking on the Lord's paths? You know, Josiah didn't go to the left or to the right, but he, even as an 8-year-old boy, are you walking on the Lord's paths? Well, you're here tonight. This is a great Sunday night group. Praise the Lord. Psalms 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And how can we walk in the right path? By being in this God's word, right? Every day. Every day. I enjoy waking up and going outside and getting my cup of coffee. My wife likes, I'll mention it, she likes to drink chlorophyll. Some like to drink tea. That's a real healthy drink. I drink coffee, and I'm learning to keep the sugar out. But listen, I like to go outside and sit outside and read my Bible. I like to have a bonfire, and that's my time with the Lord. And we need to have time with the Lord so we can stay on that path. Psalms 86:1, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. We need to get to know the Lord's, the Bible, don't we? We need to get into it and say, Lord, teach me something new today. Let us, like Josiah, walk the old paths. Jeremiah 6:16, Jeremiah, who was a contemporary to Josiah, says this, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. There is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I try to teach our boys, we need to start off with the very simple things in Christianity. Getting saved, first of all, reading our Bible, tithing, giving offerings, all these simple things, being faithful in church. We need to walk on the old paths, passing out tracts. Just recently, we're in Henderson, North Carolina, and I gave the lady at the counter, John and Romans, and a chick tract. And I said, I got a gift for you. And she said, thank you so much. She was so happy to get this. And she said, you know, I love Romans. And I said, well, I guess this, I was thinking this lady's saved. And I said, well, you just read that. You'll enjoy that. That's a gift for you. And two days later, she says, sir, thank you so much for the book you gave me. Gave me so much peace. And you know what? I failed. I probably should have followed up with her. Maybe she wasn't saved. But let's give out God's word. Number two, Josiah was zealous and surrendered in seeking after God. 2 Chronicles 34:3. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So, and we'll stop right there. So he started to seek after God. Are you, and I, that's the question, am I seeking after God every day? Are you seeking after God every day? Are we seeking after God? Psalms 42:1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And we need to pursue God, to know God, to learn more about him and learn about his word. Psalms 14:2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And the Lord's looking down, and he's looking for those that understand, and he's asking, who is seeking me? And it's a great life to serve the Lord. Even as a lay person, we've done that for 30 years, or even full time. We just love it, and we want the Lord's blessing in our lives. We want to be seeking the Lord. Are we seeking the Lord? That was my second point. My third point is, Josiah seeked after God. He was seeking after. We see that in verse 3. He became to seek after. And as we look in that, that word means to pursue. He was pursuing. He was following. He was chasing after God. Just as a young man, as he chases after his wife, he's going to make time to find to chase, not to chase, but to court his wife. Let's say it the proper way. To court his wife. He's going to make time to court his wife, isn't he? But here's Josiah as a 16-year-old, 8 years into his administration. He's 16 years old. And can 16-year-olds seek and pursue the Lord? Boy, I wish I was. Think about what you were doing at 16. Think about what I was doing at 16. It's great to see young missionaries stepping out, young pastors pursuing the Lord at a young age. Number four, we've got a few minutes here. Josiah was surrendered and zealous to fight after sin. 2 Chronicles 34, 3b through 7. So we see that he was a boy seeking after the Lord at age 8. Age 16, he's seeking after. He's 8 years into his administration. And part B, 3b. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on the high above them. He cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, made dust of them and strode them upon the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And we'll stop right there. Well, let me finish 6 and 7. So did he in the cities of Nassan, Ephraim, and Simeon, even unto Nethilia with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. He cleaned house, didn't he? As a 20-year-old, 12 years into his administration, 8 years old, he did some great things, didn't he? But he had the power to do that. He was king. And you know, you have the power to do, to clean out the sin and the idols in your life and in my life. I'm in charge of my family, and I am the head priest, the father, the husband. And along with my wife, we can go through our family, our house, and get rid of idols, things that do not glorify God. We can go through our phones and clean up our phones, apps and things that might not glorify the Lord. And we might not be able to clean up America as Josiah cleaned up his country, Judah, but we can clean up our lives, can't we? And we can tear down the idols. One thing, and I don't have time to go into this, but one thing as I was studying Josiah, and as I open God's word and study, I've learned, even through Bible colleges, you ask the Lord to open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things that are thy law. And as you study God's word, you can pray, Lord, teach me something new. You know, the greatest commentator, as preachers get commentary books, we say, well, we need to get this commentary book or this Matthew Henry or this. It's the Holy Spirit. And he's the only commentator we really need to really show us. And that's what I'm learning. And the Lord showed me that in 1 Kings 13:1 and 2, there was actually a prophecy 300 years prior that a young king named Josiah would do exactly what he did. If you would study that, I don't have time. It was between Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and a man of God said that there would be a king named Josiah. Isn't that amazing? That was just so new to me. And I am going to stop there, but we need heroes in our lives, and our Bible heroes is all we really need. We just need to get into God's word to emulate them, and Jesus Christ is our greatest hero, isn't he? Thank you so much.